This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 26th day of June 2023. And we have a whole lot to talk about tonight, but we got to start. I got three prayer requests, folks, already. And one is Jim McNeil, one of my mighty men from our church who is a real activist. The other is my brother, Jim Sanders, my third is Pastor Joe Larson. And all three of them are in need of healing, folks. Jim just was in the ER. At Hillcrest, my brother just had surgery or maybe a knee replacement, and I guess it didn't go as well. I wasn't able to talk to him. I got my sister, he called me to tell me, and I guess something didn't go well, and he temporarily lost feelings in his hands and feet. And then Pastor Joe Larson, as you know, he was to undergo more surgery, and I'm hoping it goes right this time. But let's not leave it up to hope. Let's take it to the Lord. And if you would all join with me, remember what the Word of God teaches. Because every one of you listening to me out there right now tonight either is in need of prayer yourself or you will be at some time. We're all going to be in need. And those that show mercy receive mercy. So if you would join with me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to hold these three men up, okay? Jim and Joe, just hold the three of them up, Lord, and ask, Father God, that you might intercede on their behalf, Lord, and that in every area where they can receive a blessing, they would receive that blessing. Touch them, Lord God, and leave them pain-free, and Lord, give them a clear mind, Father God, and then, Lord, turn their desires towards you more and more. And then use them to the utmost until you take them home. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wanted to say this, too. We had a great day we had yesterday, Doers of the Word. We had our church services all day at the pavilion outside. We had it outside, and it was a beautiful day. The weather was perfect, and there was... There wasn't any bugs flying around, no horse flies, mosquitoes, deer flies. I mean, it was just beautiful. And we had a lot of people come out, and the ladies, as they always do, they never disappoint. They always make some really good food to share. But the main thing was we had four people baptized yesterday. John, young John, Julie, Carrie, and Susan. They were all baptized and all made a profession of faith that Jesus was their Lord and Savior. And so all in all, it was a very good day yesterday, a great day of fellowship. And I just praise the Lord for giving us such a beautiful day. Well, I want to get into the message. And the title of the message is The Wicked and the Weak. The Wicked and the Weak. Folks, you know all about what's been happening there in Michigan, the unbelievably wicked, wicked legislation that they're trying to push in Michigan that I guess it passed the House and it might have gone through the Senate there today in Michigan. But it's hate speech. It's anti-Christian. In other words, it's the whole idea is to silence Christians in Michigan. And you folks in Michigan, let me tell you, you have a duty to Almighty God to rise up against this. You have a duty. Again, remember, from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny, and this is flat-out tyranny. And I know about the corruption. I know you have election fraud unbelievable there, and you have these people that are so corrupt. Your governor, Whitmer, your prosecutor, your attorney general is so corrupt, so very corrupt out there. The politics in your House and Senate there in Michigan has become so corrupt. But, folks, let me tell you, you know what? If you've got God on your side, right? One can chase 1,000, and two 10,000. So you folks in Michigan, unless you stand and fight against this evil, wicked, ungodly legislation that they're trying to push through, then you deserve it. And this legislation, anyone who would have an opinion, if your opinion is not a woke, if it's not a politically correct, if you say something. In other words, they're saying, look, forget this Constitution. We're above the Constitution in Michigan. We have a corrupt government here. I mean, a very corrupt government here in Michigan. And we're going to take away your First Amendment rights. And there's nothing you can do about it, okay? Well, folks, if you settle for that, you don't deserve to have First Amendment rights. You have to stand and fight with every ounce of blood and every breath that you have. Well, here in Ohio, they're trying to pass something that's almost as bad. In other words, the one in Michigan, they're actually, we played the attorney, former attorney general there last Friday, and he was saying how that according to what they're saying, that even a radio program like me that is offensive by telling the truth. Well, I got news for them, folks. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to obey God's word. And if they're offended, that's a good thing that they're offended because it should bring them to repentance. They need to understand the wages of sin are death. They'd be much better off being offended and repenting than burning in hell. And for those people there, and I'm going to tell you, for that corrupt legislation, that corrupt attorney generals and governor, that is right where they're heading. They're heading for a burning lake of fire. That's reality there in Michigan. And so, as far as this preacher goes, he's going to preach the gospel. Like Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. Now, here in Ohio, we've got something that's almost as bad, almost as wicked, that they're trying to pass, and they're calling it the Women's Reproductive Freedom Act. It is right from the pit of hell. It undermines parental rights. It's got totally misleading language and omissions. We're going to go through this. But it's right from the pit of hell, just like in legislation. Now, here, they want to amend the Ohio Constitution. They want to amend the Ohio Constitution virtually to take away all parents' rights, to eliminate all pro-life legislation. Again, this is legislation from hell, okay? Now, in order to do that, what we're trying to do on August 8th, it's on August 8th, right now, the way it stands, they can do it with 51% of the vote. With 51% of the vote in the House and Senate. Now, we're trying to do is we're trying to, like, and be like most other states, where you have to have at least 60%, and mostly in other states, two-thirds, which would be 66%. But we have, on August 8th, a bill coming up that would pass to make it, and this is issue one on August 8th, Tuesday, August 8th, that would make it the law that it would you would need 60% of the vote to pass it. And so you want to vote yes on issue one on August 8th. Now listen to me. If you're not registered to vote and you call yourself a Christian, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You really should be ashamed of yourself. Because God's word in the Bible tells you from Genesis to Revelation to resist tyranny. And it's awful hard to do that if you're not even registered to vote. And if you're not registered to vote and you have people like Joe Biden, you deserve people like Joe Biden. So anyhow, be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. So what you need to do is make sure that you get registered to vote and that you vote and tell everybody you know. Spread the word around on August 8th to vote yes on issue one. Spread that word. It's imperative that you do that. It's imperative that you do that. If you end up with no rights at all, then that's what, if you don't get out and fight for it, you don't deserve any freedom. So get out there, do what God's word, the Bible says. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. Well, the title of the message was The Wicked and the Weak. Now, the reason I just told you all of that was also the days we're living in, because it has to do with this message. I recently just heard a woman, and she was saying how she was ashamed of herself, and she hopes God could forgive her, because her son, who is a male, a natural-born male, how this man wanted to be, he was a homosexual, a sodomite, and she spoke out against that until she understood about transgenderism, until she listened to NBC, ABC, CBS, and now she says that she didn't realize what she put her poor son through, not knowing that he was actually a girl in a man's body. Well, woman, first of all, I got news for you. He wasn't, and he isn't. And here's your problem. There's a term for that. It's called simple-minded. And listen, for you to ask, hope God forgives you, you better ask him to try to forgive you for what you just said and did. Because sodomy, God says sodomy, sodomites, are an abominable thing. They're an abominable thing. It doesn't matter what NBC, ABC, CBS says. They'll tell you, at the end of the day, God is the judge. God is the judge. And so you need to repent of that and ask for discernment, because you have no discernment. But anyhow, I wanted to start here tonight. Again, the title is The Wicked and the Weak. In Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 9. Now, here Jesus gives a very, very strong rebuke to the religious leaders. Like the apostate clergy of today, they hear one thing and they teach another. They can read the word of God and teach another gospel, because they're not able to understand their desire to serve self and not God blinds them to the very gospel that they pervert. And so here we start in verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more in abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. He's talking about his belief in God, his belief in the word of God and in God's word. Therefore I speak to them in parables, seeing they see, they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see it, and you shall not perceive. Now, this is very interesting here. Christ here is indicates that the scathing rebuke of these religionists who, you might say, having a form of godliness, they're denying the power of God in the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, which originally applied to the Jewish leaders of Isaiah's day. Christ indicated that it was also applied to his own time. Now, folks, here again, he goes on to say, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Now, here, he's making a point, too, that it's more generous. You see, God is a very merciful God, a very merciful God. And it is more merciful for them if they don't understand, if they don't completely understand. Because, see, God knows their hearts, and he knows that they're going to reject him. They're going to reject the sacrifice Christ made at Calvary. They're going to reject that open door that he gives them to repent and avoid the lake of fire. They're going to reject that. And here, it's more merciful if they don't completely understand what they're doing than it is if they completely and totally understand and do what he knows they're going to do, is reject him. So I remember one day some years ago, I was leading up an operation rescue here in Ohio, and an abortion mill. And at that abortion mill, they had an apostate United Methodist clergy. Now, he was there. His job for this apostate was to assure these girls that there was nothing wrong, that they had the right, that God understood that they had the right to kill their babies. That was his job. That's what he was being paid to do there, folks. This guy here was a wolf in sheep's clothing. And so I confronted him. Boy, did I confront him. I got right in his face, and I told him, you know, what you're doing, you know what the Word of God says. You know what you're doing here. Not only, as Jesus told those in Matthew chapter 23, the religious leaders, not only are you not going to enter to the gates of heaven, you know that. You're doing all that you can to keep these girls, these women coming in here, to keep them from going in too. You're going to help them to become murderers, and you're going to have the innocent blood on them. The Bible says when they kill a child in the womb, you're always pregnant with that child. Your womb will always be, your womb becomes a tomb, folks. And this apostate, I mean, I told him, I said, you're heading for a lake of fire. You had better repent. You know that. You know that if you don't repent, you will burn. You're a wicked man, an ungodly man, okay? And this guy let out a scream. He let out a scream. And he said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. He says, they tell me one thing to do. Another tells me another. And here, you're telling me what I'm doing, what I am. And he said, I'm quit. I don't want any more. I can't take it no more. And he ran. He literally ran out, okay? Now, when I got there, he was sitting there with his head high, with this ungodly, arrogant look on his face. But that wasn't the way he looked when he left there, I can tell you that. And, folks, this is exactly what he's talking about here. He had ears to hear, but he was not hearing what God had to say. No, he was hearing what he wanted to hear. He wanted to hear the wicked, the ungodly, the unclean, those women. Boy, I'm going to tell you. And those women that work at these abortion mills, God's Word, the Bible, refers to them as unclean, the unclean things. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 34, said their skirts are filled with the blood of the innocent. And God didn't even have to look upon their hearts, their own mouths. They condemned themselves. And then if you keep reading, they say, well, we didn't do anything wrong. We were allowed to do what we're doing. We're allowed, you know. The government, the people let us do this. No, let me tell you something. God didn't. And you have a corrupt government. You have a very corrupt government. And I'm going to tell you something. See, that government is not going to help you. The ACLU will not be there to help you on Judgment Day. They'll be standing there with you being judged. You'll be thrown in that lake of fire with the ACLU because they're right from the pit of hell. And again, folks, unless there's repentance, there is no forgiveness. And so here, I want to go now over to Galatians chapter 1. And in Galatians chapter 1, I'll be reading from verses 1 through 9. So, but first I've got to take a sip. My throat shouldn't be getting so raspy today. I haven't been preaching all day like I was yesterday. Now here, we take a look at Paul, starts in verse 1, as he's basically on the ground of grace here, and he says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. Now, when he says that, he says, but by Jesus Christ and God, the Father, who raised him from the dead. Now, one of the criteria of being an apostle, one of the apostles, is that you had to be personally taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, personally. Now, the Lord Jesus had already died and gone to be the Father when Paul enters in. And so you say, well, how could this happen? Well, Paul tells you this in this chapter here. Paul spent 3 years in the Arabian desert being tutored, personally tutored by the Lord Jesus himself. So he's making a point that what he was about to preach, he didn't get from man, but from Christ himself. And he goes on and he says, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now, that word world there, eon, is not talking about planet Earth. He's talking about an age, and he's talking about the church age, the sixth dispensation period that we are in now. Paul was in the front end of it. We're in the back end of it right now. And so here, he goes on to say, to whom glory be forever and ever, amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. Now, that word there, heteros, is what he meant. For the word another is heteros, and that means another of a different kind, He says, which is not another. Now, this word, another here, in verse 7, is allos, and that means of the same kind. So he's saying it's a gospel of a different kind, not another gospel of the same kind. In other words, the one of the different kind was not a gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, was not a gospel of Paul or Peter or any of the apostles, but was a false gospel by the apostates of that day. But Alice means it was a gospel of maybe a different, but of God, of the Lord Jesus, or of the apostles. So there may be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, it's an interesting thing when we read that, because here we know in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7, it tells us that God will send an angel to preach the everlasting gospel from the heavens during the coming tribulation period. And so here we go on to say, and as we said before, I say so again, If any man preach to any other gospel unto you than that you received, let him be accursed. Now, being accursed, anathema, folks, anathema, what that's referring to there is a curse of God for teaching, he's referring for teaching false doctrines. And so Paul had to deal, and we'll be back right after this.
I was just thinking, anyway, I started off without you. And I sold a lot of state secrets and a lot of very important things that we shared. I was just thinking,
I don't think you played the whole clip there. Could you, okay, yeah, play that again, because, go ahead.
I was just thinking, anyway, I started off without you. And I sold a lot of state secrets and a lot of very important things that we shared. I was just thinking,
All right. This was Joe Biden, folks, in India with Prime Minister and the tech giant CEOs at the White House, okay? So Joe Biden he's there with the Indian Prime Minister and all the big tech giants at the White House. And Joe is confused. And he said what you just heard him say, I sold a lot of state secrets and a lot of very important things, okay? And so here, it's not every day you hear a crooked politician fessing up to their crimes, but it should also be noted that only a party that is stealing elections would run such a corrupt idiot for president and believe that they had a chance. And that's right out of the Gateway Pundit. Okay, there you go. Very good. Now, I have another one, another clip that I wanted to play too. And here it is. And this one, Joe Biden used secret global cell phones while he was his vice president. In other words, he did this. Peter Schweitzer dropped a bombshell during an appearance on Fox News with host Maria Bartiromo. Schweitzer, author of The Secret Empires, we had him on the program several times a few years ago, said Joe Biden was using a secret cell phone, and it was paid for by Hunter Biden's corrupt firm. What is in the line of communications between Hunter Biden and the business partners and Joe Biden when he was vice president of the United States? Schweitzer said it is not the government phone. It's not Joe Biden's personal phone. So we know from the laptop that Hunter Biden's business paid for a private phone line that Joe Biden used while he was in vice president. Schweitzer continued, it was from the AT&T, and it was cost $300 a month, and it was a global phone where you could access somebody anywhere in the world. So Peter Schweitzer said that he shared the phone number and account information with the people on the Oversight House, on the House Oversight Committee. And my hope is that the House Oversight Committee will subpoena these records, Peter Schweitzer said. If they get those records, I'm hoping they kept them, because this was the phone that Biden was using to make all of his crooked deals, okay? And so go ahead and play that clip.
Good point. Look, you both have broken so much news on this story. Peter, you broke a lot of this years ago about the Biden family influence peddling, and you've got new information this morning, breaking news on a cell phone that Joe Biden was using. Tell us about that.
It's interesting. What is the line of communications between Hunter Biden and his business partners and Joe Biden when he's vice president of the United States? It's not the government phone. It's not Joe Biden's personal phone. We know from the laptop that Hunter Biden's business paid for a private phone line that Joe Biden used while he was vice president. It was from AT&T. It was $300 a month. It was a global phone where you could access somebody anywhere around the world. We shared that phone number and that account information with people at the House Oversight Committee. My hope is that they haven't already. They will subpoena those records because I think it will give an indication on how tight the communication was. And that may be the phone, for example, that the Ukrainian, the Burisma executive, might have used in this allegation that he talked to Joe Biden in recorded conversations. I would just say one other thing, Marie, as it relates to that sort of shakedown phone call with Henry Zhao that we alluded to. Henry Zhao in 2015 had already sent $5 million to the Bidens. He was the head of a harvest investment firm. And what's interesting is in the correspondence there, Hunter Biden again talks to Zhao in the context of this is a deal that's important to my family involving his father. Let's also keep in mind we fixate on the criminal element of this. We also have to focus on the espionage element of this. Henry Zhao paid $5 million to Hunter Biden from an account that was part of a company that he co-owned with the family of the Minister of State Security of China, who's in charge of the entire spy apparatus. And you see that in every deal that Hunter Biden did in China, these individuals that are sending him money have ties to Chinese intelligence.
Unbelievable. We have to take a quick break.
Alrighty, we are back. Okay. And I was just looking at some text I'm getting from this already. But anyhow, it's the transgender craze. Is it losing steam, folks? Gallup poll finds that most people are fed up and sick and tired of the LGBTQ pride. That's the lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressive pride being shoved down our throat. And this is here. An article by Ethan Huff. And it goes on. Despite the constant in-your-face drag queen shows and pride parades that aim to desensitize and soften up the nation to accept transgenderism and pedophilia, folks, I hope I know most of you listening to me, you won't let it happen, but little by little, what they're doing, especially with the young people, folks, they are becoming so degenerate now. The young people don't know right from wrong. They actually think, the young people actually believe that when we do as God's word, the Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. They actually believe that when we tell you no, what God's word, the Bible says, that sodomy is a sin. And this so-called transgender thing is simply lunacy. It's indoctrination. It's playing with the minds of these young people. These sick Democrats are playing and they're perverting the minds of the young people. And the young people actually don't know right from wrong. They actually think that it's cruel and unchristian-like not to accept what God's word, the Bible, calls an abominable thing. And that's the mindset that you have out here today. And so here, an overwhelming majority of Americans, the poll found, believe that only men should play in men's sports teams, while only women should play in women's sports teams. And they also claim that to claim that a man is a woman or vice versa is simply not as in vogue as the lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queer lobby is attempting to make it, folks. It's foolishness. It's absolute lunacy. And it's right from the pit of hell. And let me tell you, if you accept this, if you don't speak up when they're promoting this, if you don't speak up and tell them that's what you're doing is wrong, God's word, the Bible, is very clear to be a homosexual or a sodomite, God's word, the Bible says, is an abominable thing. You need to repent of that. And if you don't, you're going to be at odds with God because God says you're going to repent or perish. Don't bring that filth around me. We're better than that. If you're going to carry that filth, you're lesser people. You're lesser people. Don't bring that filth around here. Because God's word, the Bible says, to come out from amongst them, have nothing to do with them. Okay? And so, that's what you need to do. If you don't have the courage, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. But the fearful and the unbelieving, they'll run when no one pursues. Do you hear me, folks? You got to stand up. If you care at all for your children, if you care at all for your country, boy, I tell you, it just with me, I just have no tolerance for people that are apathetic and ignorant. So anyhow, out of 111 or 1,011 adults surveyed between May 24th, 69% told pollsters they believe athletes should only be allowed to compete in teams. Well, you know, so at least 69% have a little common sense, but almost 100% say that they are absolutely fed up with having that filth pushed into their faces. All right, there you go. Now, after saying that, I got another article here, and this one has got to do with DOJ. Now, this is from the Gateway Pundit, by the way. It's an article, I believe, of Jessica Watkins, who's a political prisoner. DOJ paid informants and edited, chopped, cropped, and spliced video to indict J6ers. The DOJ is completely and totally corrupt. There's nothing about them now that's not corrupt. Their Department of Injustice. Merrick Garland is the most corrupt, absolutely the most corrupt that's ever. You know, I don't know. I don't know how you could be more corrupt than Merrick Garland. He lies to Congress. Unbelievable what he does. And again, this is why the Department of Justice is totally, it's illegitimate, folks. Not only do you have no obligation at all to give them any credibility or to legitimize them in any way, shape, or form, but it would be a sin for you to do that. It would be a sin for you to give any honor to the Department of Justice because they are not a Department of Justice. And God's Word, the Bible says, give honor to whom deserves it. Give honor to whom is required. And just unbelievable. In fact, I think I should try to, for a minute, just jump back into the Word of God. And if I can very quickly go over here and just read it to you right from the Word of God here. And so, we read this. Render, therefore, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. And folks, none of that is due to the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice is under Merrick Garland is completely and totally corrupt. Completely corrupt. There's nothing there that's not corrupt. And so here, Jessica Watkins, an American political prisoner who was charged with a litany of offenses after all she did was walk into the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. She assisted police and left the building 23 minutes later. Jessica is part of the Oath Keepers organization. Jessica was arrested in January of 2021. She was later stripped naked and left in a cell with lights on for 24 hours a day for 4 days of torture. Jessica is a veteran, was found guilty in November on crimes she never committed, and the very extremely corrupt D.C. judge would not allow Jessica on that entire D.C. There's not a courthouse in Washington, D.C. There's not one in D.C. that's not corrupted. The entire thing is corrupted, folks. It's worse than just communism. They've gone beyond just communism. They now are into Satanism. They're wicked and evil and ungodly to the core. And so the corrupt D.C. judge would not allow Jessica or her fellow defendants to cross-examine the fraudulent, corrupt federal informants who lied about her during the trial. Now, if Jessica sits in prison for crimes she never committed. In fact, I'm going to stop right here, right now, and I'm going to ask you folks, listen, remember, there's power in prayer. You know, if you're going to be for the Lord, remember the Lord Jesus said, you have to put him first. If you're going to be all in on your faith, those people, those are patriots, those are heroes, those people that were arrested, and those dirty, very, very dirty D.C. cops, and I mean very dirty, that so-called commission. Every single one that were on that so-called commission was a liar, and there was no truth in them. Every single one of them, folks. I know all of them, okay? And I looked into every one of them, and I've listened to them over the years. And to us, lying is a sin. To us, lying is wrong. It's a sin. To them, it's required. Karl Marx made it very clear that you are to do whatever you can to continue to spread the collective, to spread the collective, bring as many people into communism as you can. Well, again, this is not just communism, it is Satanism. Again, that committee that they had there was corrupt from top to bottom. Every single person on there. And those people, that very corrupt mayor, extremely corrupt mayor there in D.C., and that corrupt jail that the patriots are in, I want you to join with me. Join with me. They're going to laugh to think, so go ahead and pray to your God. See what your God will do for us. Go ahead. We laugh at you praying for your God. Well, folks, God's listening to that too. God's listening to that too. And I know that sometimes we get frustrated when we see wickedness and evil there. And, God is long-suffering, but he's not slack concerning judgment. So if you would join with me, there's power in prayer. And I know there's thousands and thousands and thousands of you listening out there tonight. If you would join with me, that we would pray against that and pray that those, every single one of those corrupt officials in D.C. would end up right in that dirty jail, right in that dirty jail. Now, Donald Trump says if he gets into office, that'll happen. And those heroes, those Christian patriots that are in that filthy jail would find their freedom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, we're asking, Lord, for justice. Lord, we are asking for justice. We're asking, Lord God, that you would move your mighty hand. These people laugh. They mock. They mock and they laugh and talk about go ahead, call on your God and see what we care. Well, we're going to call good evil and evil good. We're going to do what we want. And we're going to continue to torture. We've killed several of your Christians out there on January 6th. We murdered them. And we can get away with murder because we are so corrupt. We got power from Satan himself. So, Lord, I would ask, Father God, that you would come against these wicked people. That every one of them, Father God, every one of them, every single one of them, Lord, who put the patriots in prison, would end up being in that same dirty, rotten prison. And while they're in there, Lord, that you would use that to bring them to repentance, Lord. But, Lord, I would pray that they end up in that prison. And that includes Nancy Pelosi. That includes Nancy Pelosi. That includes Adam Schiff. That includes all of those people on that wicked committee. That includes that corrupt mayor and police chief. And Lord, and that corrupt, and especially that corrupt judge, that very corrupt judge that that sentenced that young lady and the others, Father God, that corrupt judge. In fact, Lord, while we're asking for big things, we're asking that you end up with all those corrupt judges in D.C. in prison. They're going to laugh and they're going to mock, Lord. But, Father God, we would ask that you would do that, that we would see justice. It's been a long time since we've seen any justice in this country. And we know because of apathy and ignorance. And Father God, too, we're asking, Lord, that please raise up some bold pastors. Now, I want to thank you, Lord, for all of those that are here. I know you have risen up a number of them, and I thank you for that. But there's still far, far too many, Father God, that you would actually raise up bold, and I mean bold pastors, not these neo-evangelical, you know, effeminate little fellows, but bold men of God who say what they mean and mean what they say, and those that would boldly stand out and would fear you, Lord, more than they fear this stupid, corrupt government. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you folks out there prayed with me, because our country needs prayer right now more than it ever did. IRS whistleblower fights back, names additional six witnesses in response to Garland's denial of interference in the Biden investigation. Again, Merrick Garland is as corrupt gets. I don't think it's possible he could be any more corrupt. On Friday, corrupt U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland denied the IRS whistleblower allegations detailing the Justice Department's effort to block felony recommendations against Hunter Biden. You know, they just had that big thing at the White House there, here Hunter is sitting there. Guess who Hunter is sitting with? Right, folks? He's sitting there with very, very corrupt Merrick Garland. How, you know, that just shows you how corrupt they are. Sitting there at their party together. The two IRS whistleblowers told lawmakers that Justice Department efforts to block search warrants and cover up Hunter Biden's tax crimes. The whistleblowers also confirmed Joe Biden was directly involved in Hunter's overseas business deals. One of the whistleblowers, Gary Shapley, confirmed to prosecutors that Joe Biden met with officials from the Chinese energy company, the communist Chinese energy company, by the way, folks. Shapley also revealed Hunter Biden's demanded payment from the Chinese Business Association over WhatsApp Messenger and used his powerful father as muscle as he issued threats. In fact, we're going to play a clip. I think that has it in the clip. I'm not sure, but here's how the conversation went. Now, this was to Henry Zhou, and is as follows, according to the IRS whistleblower. I am sitting here with my father, and he would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled. Tell the director that I would like to resolve this now before it gets out of hand. And now means tonight. And Z, if I get a call or text from anyone involved in this other than you, Zhang, or the chairman, I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows, and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my directions. I'm sitting here waiting for the call with my father. Now, the whistleblower's allegations directly contradict Merrick Garland's statements under oath. Again, to us, lying is wrong. To Merrick Garland, it's required. It's habitual. It's what he does. And so, all righty, there you go. Also, there's another story here. Who wrote the letter? U.S. Attorney Wise signed June. Now, here's a conflict with this U.S. Attorney Wise. who told Wise to sign. He signed a letter saying that he had total and complete control, full authority to charge Hunter Biden, but he had told the IRS whistleblowers just the opposite, that he wasn't, that he didn't have that authority. This contradicts the IRS whistleblower heard David Wise say during one of his in-person meetings with the prosecutor, Mark Lyle, an attorney for IRS, told Fox News host Martha McCullen that U.S. Attorney David Wise, the Trump-appointed Delaware prosecutor assigned to Hunter Biden's case, said he had no power at all to bring charges against Hunter Biden. So then he was told to sign a letter saying that he had the power. He was told to flat-out lie. Whistleblower Gary Chapin said David Wise disclosed this to him in one of his in-person meetings with the U.S. attorney. United States Attorney Wise was present for the meeting. He surprised us by telling us on the charges, quote, I am not the deciding official on whether charges are filed, unquote. And so there you go. Now, you don't suppose it was Merrick Garland that told him, you're going to sign that letter or we'll retaliate or we'll remove you or whatever. But again, these people are completely corrupt, folks. There's nothing about them that's not. I'm wondering, how much time do I? 3 minutes? Listen, we have that little clip on that 3 minutes. We have that little clip on the Dr. McCullough, the vaccines. Could you play that? We have time to play that. All righty, we got this is the largest blood clots.
The vaccines ever. Unequivocally cause blood clots through the mechanism of producing the Wuhan spike protein. The spike protein, which is now in the bodies of everyone who've taken these vaccines, promotes blood clots, large blood clots. A paper from the FDA by Wu and colleagues from the U.S. FDA published in the peer-reviewed literature described thousands of blood clots that they had in a sample going from the ankle to the hip, the largest blood clots we've ever seen, shooting to the lungs. 11% of cases in the Wu paper were fatal. My experience with these blood clots are they're enormously resistant to blood thinners. We're using all different types of blood thinners, adding additional drugs, and they are not going away like characteristic blood clots. Studies show the Wuhan spike protein is inside the blood clots and it's folding, forming what's called amyloid structures. Amyloid structures are like rubber in the human body. They look like rubber, and the blood clots are large and rubberized, and they are not being dissolved. A very disturbing paper recently published by Lee and colleagues with a sample of millions and millions of patients from 2021, they had unvaccinated and vaccinated. They did careful retinal scans. This is astonishing. They found astronomical rates of blood clots in the retinal arteries and retinal veins in those vaccinated compared to the unvaccinated. And that was only with two shots back in 2021. 2 years later, these still exist. They're still there. The risk is there. So what I'm telling you is these vaccines have a very long effect in the human body. And when we see blood clots in the arteries, small arteries and veins of the eyes, they're reflecting what's going on in the body. The blood clots are coming from elsewhere. And so they certainly can be a cause of blindness, but is a general reflection of blood clotting occurring through the body throughout. This is a very large study, and it's the longest study showing that there is a tail, at least a two-year tail, of risk and concern of anyone who's taken one of these vaccines back in 2021.
And folks, and they're still telling you, they're still pushing. The last time I was at Cleveland Clinic, they're still encouraging you and the VA. After all these people are dying, all these people are getting sick and dying, all these horrible things happening, but because of the money, because of the money from Big Pharma, they're still promoting for you to get this horrible, horrible.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company.
Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.